You're here, Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently come before thy throne of mercy tonight, believing, Lord, that you are here. And believing, Father, that you are doing a work which no man who has not the Holy Ghost would understand. But believing, Father, a work which you ordained before the foundations of the world, preparing a bride to become your word and your works. And Father, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that in each age they had a potentiality of the adoption, for they had the spirit of adoption, having had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But this is the only hour in which you called that we would be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, and that there would be sons of God which be manifested. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to that time, knowing that it must come, for you spoke it. For it is thus saith the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, being that it's communion night, I'll keep my sermon short, but I will do something that I have not done before, and that is to play. I'll be playing a few quotes from some of Brother Vail's sermons toward the end of the service tonight to show you what he taught concerning the believer at the end time and what sort of person that we will become. And this goes to show that those who came into this ministry later, when he began to teach only doctrine, that they're missing a significant portion of Brother Vail's ministry, because Brother Branham enjoyed Brother Vail teaching faith to the people. Brother Vail, there was no one who could teach faith like he did. I guess maybe perhaps some of the earlier ones like Brother Bosworth could, because of the results that they got. But unless they listened carefully over the years to his comments and announcements, or his opening and closing prayers where he wept many times before the people because of the condition of the people, they missed out on essential teachings concerning the Christian life and the life of Christ and the works of Christ that are already being manifested in the church during what he called the resurrection season. I would also like to assign each family this week, or not this week, but you can take your time doing it, but I'd like you to do it as soon as possible, a little homework assignment, and that would be to, during your devotional times at home, and perhaps you could break it up, you know, because they're quite long sermons, they're about 2 hours each, but listen to four sermons that Brother Vail preached on the position and placement of the sons of God. These sermons are all called by the name Adoption. The first two were preached in Macon, Georgia, December 31st, 1971. That would be the watch night service, I believe. And then, and it's simply called Adoption. And then the second time he preached was January 1st, the very next day, 1972. He preached Adoption number 2 at the Macon meetings. The next time he preached on this subject was the next month at the Tucson Tabernacle, February 6, 1972, a morning service and an evening service where he preached Adoption Part 1 and Part 2. He preached those sermons. Now, before we play a couple of quotes from audio from Brother Vail on these sermons, I'd just like for us to open our Bibles and look at the book of Ephesians, and we'll take our text from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Then he says, before him, now, holy and without blame before him. Now, the question is, what does it mean before him? Well, the word here was translated from a Greek word, katenopion, which means indirectly in front of, in presence of, or in the sight of. In other words, he's talking about there's coming a time when we will be holy and without blame standing in his presence. Then he says, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now it is not enough to know that there is to be an adoption that we are foreordained to. And I would guess perhaps a large majority of people who follow Brother Branham's ministry perhaps have heard him teach on the adoption, but they have no clue concerning it because they haven't studied it. And certainly amongst those who follow Brother Vail's ministry, many have turned it aside and said, well, that's for the millennium, or that's for the resurrection. And let me tell you something. You're wrong when you say that. The time of the adoption is the time or season of the resurrection. It's now. It is now. Now, we're not talking about the change in the body. We're talking about the adoption itself as a process. You see, when the young man gets his coat, that's only part of the adoption. But the process began by the changing of the mind. And then the father takes him up before witnesses. And he gives him his power and his might, because he gives him half of what he has. Now, it's not enough, as I said, to know about that there is an adoption that we're foreordained to. We must not only know there is an adoption or placing of sons, but we must also know when this foreordained thing shall take place. For how do you prepare for it if, number one, you're not aware of it, and number two, you know not when it shall be? If you're putting it way off to the future, you're going to miss it when it comes. You understand? Brother Branham said, that's how people miss him all the time. They're always putting things in, they're always looking backward, always looking forward, and failing to recognize what God is doing right now. Now, we could all do like many other churches and look back 50 years and say, well, the prophet did this, the prophet did that, prophet this, prophet that, prophet that. But what about now? It's more than a generation. It's more than 40 years. He went off the scene almost 50 years ago. So look, brother, sister, we're at the end of that generation. We want to say generation 70 years. Well, okay, let's argue over 40 or 70. It doesn't matter to me. We are at the end time. Brother Branham, when he recognized his ministry, when he recognized the word for him was Malachi 4, Revelation 10:7, and et cetera, he stepped into it and he became that. But we have a great promise, brother, sister, of being adopted, being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And if we all want to put it back into the millennium, you'll never have it. You won't get it because you won't be there. Now, from God in simplicity, Brother Ramson, many miss him by the way that he reveals himself. No man has their own, now man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I've said, made the statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do, and always looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing now. See? And from identified Christ of all ages, this is even better. He says, listen, today we're always, like man is always praising God for what he done, always looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. It's always been that same thing. And everybody's got his own private interpretation. Well, God is his own interpreter. God don't need no one to interpret. The Bible said it's without interpretation. It don't need man. Man interprets the Bible himself. Well, God said, let there be light, and there was light. That settled it. God said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That settled it. When God says anything and vindicates it, that's his interpretation of it. And he said he poured out his spirit in the last days, and he did it. There's no interpretation to it. It's already interpreted. Unbelievers might rise and skeptics might stand and whatever they might be or do, but God did it anyhow because he said he would do it. He doesn't need anybody to interpret it for him. He doesn't need, he does his own interpretation. He made the promise and people believe it, and he interprets it to them. To who? To the ones that believe it. We're talking about believers. Amen? He's the Lord that heals all our diseases. I can't tell you how he does it, but he does it. He said that he would do it, and that he would do it. So it's up to your faith. It's up to our faith. Excuse me. He couldn't do it there without faith. Neither can he do it here or any other time without faith. Now, listen to this. From watching this star, okay? Watching his star. He said, and for myself, I'm expecting something to happen. I'd like to just stop and ask the question, are you expecting? You see, it is written, when the people that are called by my name shall assemble themselves together and pray, then I will hear from heaven. And I've been praying today, and I know that others has been praying, and I'm expecting something to happen. There may be things happen, will go right over the head of the people. Many who are not ordained to life will never be able to see it. When Jesus came, there were tens of thousands, yes, millions, looking for him to come, and he just revealed himself to a little handful. See, it's those who are looking for something, those who have a pulsation in their heart, beating, waiting, longing for something to happen. It's those who believe it'll happen and is waiting for the event. That's who Jesus will come for those who love his appearing. And if you love anybody and you're expecting them to appear, you're making every preparation for it. That's the way the church should be tonight. Making every preparation for the coming of the Lord, watching every signpost. And when you see God doing something, rejoice, because it's pointing to his coming, and we're down to about the last sign now. The last signpost now. So we have a scriptural promise that we are ordained to the adoption of sons. And we've read in Romans that we are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. So either it is a promise of God for us, or it isn't. And we have to make our stand on what age that we believe this adoption is to take place in. If you're looking for it in this hour, you're going to receive it. If you're putting it off to some other age, you're not going to receive it, because you were born in this age. You're born to this age. And if you put the promise off to another age, forget it. It's not for you. Oh, brother. There are many who have mocked me and made fun of me because mocked you as well. Because we see the scriptural promise for this age. And I see that it is to come before the resurrection. I do not believe the adoption is to be put off until the millennium is on. And neither do I believe that we are to come to it in the very hour of the resurrection. Or that is to come during the 40 to 50 days of the resurrection. I believe we are ordained to come to that capstone ministry and be so honed to the very life of Christ that the very word and works of Christ are to become manifest in the sons of God. Now the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now are you led by men or by the Spirit of God? You see? I believe you're here tonight because you're led by the Spirit of God. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we have in this hour, notice the two spirits in the church, the spirit of fear and the spirit of adoption, which is the spirit of the liberty that the elect of God, the sons of God, have because they have received the glory of God and are reflecting that glory. The values, the opinions, the judgments of God. In other words, she has the mind of God and the word of God and knows what to do with it, as Brother Brown told us in the spoken word's original seed. Now, notice verse 16. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Brother Brown, you know how he told us that he bears witness? He brings to pass. He confirms it by doing things. When Jesus said, if you believe me, the works that I do shall you do also. You say, well, how do we know? He said, ask anything and I'll do it. You sit around waiting for something to happen because, you know, you just wait. Listen, that's not what he said. He said, the very things that I do, if you have the life, if you are a believer, the very things you will do, and I'm going to tell you how it's done. You ask and it shall be done. You don't go around creating this and creating that and trying to do this. You ask. He said, ask in the Father. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. You see, ask the Father in my name. And then he says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, and listen, what does it mean glorified together? Having the same values, same opinion, same judgment. It's not some mystical thing like you're going to glow like a glow worm or something like that. He's talking about you're going to glow, your character's going to glow. Because you have the right values, you have the right opinions, you see? So if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the doxa, the values, opinions, and judgment, which shall be revealed in us. Not to us, in us. Hallelujah. Now, please talk about what is revealing in you. Now, remember, we studied this a few weeks ago. The word revelation or reveal, it means to manifest. It actually is the truth, a divine truth manifested. And you find, actually, if you go to the word apocalypsis, you'll find that it's translated as revelation, revealing, and manifestation. You see? Because listen, how can it be a true revelation if it isn't manifested? Because God brings to pass his word or interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So when he says, the Spirit, God's Spirit, will bear witness with your spirit, how's it done? Because God is bringing to pass. It is him working in you to will and to do. And all you are doing is yielding yourself. You see? So he says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the values of God which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the creation, is waiting upon the manifestation, as Brother Vail calls it in his thing, he calls it the unveiling of the sons of God. Now, didn't we have a mighty God unveiled before us in this hour? Didn't John say, now, brother, you're already sons? But this doesn't seem like it. But you know, when he shall appear, you shall appear with him. Or you shall be like him, for you shall appear even as he appears. Right? And doesn't it say that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true character, thus shall we manifest in our true character with him, in glory, with him in the same values, the same judgments, you see. Okay, for the earnest expectation of the creature, the creation, waits for the unveiling or the manifestation of the sons of God. You think it's going to happen, and it's not going to happen until the millennium? You're wrong. You think God's going to have it wait until the resurrection? You're wrong. It's too late then. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And Brother Vail said, that's not glorious liberty, it's the liberty of the glory. Look, when you have the values of God, when you have the opinion of God, it gives you liberty. Because you know that when you're pleasing him, you don't walk around in fear of what the pastor might say or the deacon board might say or getting called to this room or that room. You have perfect confidence that you're following a perfect God. You understand? Because the creature also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. That's your baptism of the Holy Ghost, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into the full teaching because I've got many, many sermons on it throughout the last two series we've been. If you get a chance, and those who have just come to this ministry in the last few months, go back and go through all of those spoken words, original seed, because it's not me. It's what Brother Branham says. We take it to the scripture. This is what caused all the flack and the flare and everything else, saying what Brother Branham said. And you're going to find tonight, you're going to hear Brother Vail quote from Brother Branham the same quotes from spoken words, original seed, and say the very same things that I said. Hallelujah. All right. Now, as I promised, I have a couple of quotes from Brother Vail when he preached on the adoption. To show all of you out there that are fussing and saying that Brian Kosorek is not teaching what Brother Vail taught, perhaps you say that because you have no clue what he taught, and I imagine that's because you came to his ministry after he turned the corner and began teaching doctrine, and you either heard his ministry when he was here at the height of his teaching faith, or perhaps you just wish to lay aside those things that he said that are not convenient to your personal agenda. But you pick your own reason, but either way, you will have to explain yourself to God one day for turning down a promise that God gave us for this age. Now, for the remainder of the service tonight, I promise it wouldn't be a long one, but I would like to play two statements, fairly long statements, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. A Brother Vail emphatically is preaching what I've been preaching for the past 7 years and not one iota different. Now, Brother Josh, if you would focus in, I'm going to put this on with the words, and if you could focus in as close as you can to both cameras, to the words up here. The first one is from adoption, number one, Tucson Tabernacle, and I'm going to shrink this a second, pull up the and let's see here, Tucson Tabernacle, and let me open this with iTunes. I have to stop it a second and turn on the volume from the system here. Maybe that's a little loud. Okay. Let me try it again here. Amen. See?
I don't care what the first 40 years was like. That doesn't appall me one little bit. Have you got anything to do with it? Because we are looking to bring forth the son as Abraham and Sarah did to bring forth the child, even so the bride will bring forth the child. But it's got to come in the fullness of time of the 30th season. So we're looking forward to this time now when this bride, having grown up, and she's come to the end time, and the bride is finished. Now, what will this fullness be? We've never seen the fullness, really. Then what's it going to be in the bride? It's got to be then the full revelation and the full life of Christ in the bride.
See, the full life of Christ in the bride.
You just can't put it any other way. I don't care what the mind says up here, and the mind wants to fall down. Now, let's stick with what the prophet said. See, and I'll quote you the verse, and don't worry, see. He said we've got to have a refilling. What for? Glory for the Holy Ghost who needs refilling. Because we're dealing with what the Spirit of God does in the ages. Never mind what he did to Jerusalem. That was important. And it's a part of it. And we don't throw it out. But they don't have this. What we're talking about, see? How can anybody deny John 14 and 12 greater works than these should you do because they go to my Father? And that day you'll know that I am you and you and me and the Father and me and the, I and the Father, so on until there's a complete one. When has that ever taken place? See? When has there been a fullness manifested in the bride? We're not talking now about one or two people. That's where people get all mixed up in the stature of perfect man. They try to make it an individual thing and it won't work. It's the church through the ages. Brother Branham's message was consistently the church coming to maturity and showing what the age produced. Everybody wants to put it on a man. You can't do it.
Amen.
We're talking about a bride. See? Now we're coming to the age. We're coming into this age. Now, as this subject has been talked about by Brother Branham, it's difficult for most people to see what he was driving at because they consistently confuse sonship with the placing of sons. Or in other words, a child of God and the placing, that same child of God is a son. Also, they've been taught that the placing of the sons is the resurrection and not the capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. Now, you catch it. There are two things where people want to place this only for 30 to 40 days in a resurrection or the entire or the resurrection itself and put it in the millennium or someplace else. Now, before it's finished, I'll show you how it works all the way down the line. That isn't my understanding. You go the way you want to go on it. But I said they don't understand the difference between ordinary sonship as a child of God and the placing of son. And secondly, they don't realize that Brother Branham taught that there would be a capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. See, right here. Now, first of all, let us see the sonship or the ordinary fact of being the child of God is not the placing or the adoption or the manifestation of the Son of God. And to do this, we study the life of Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam, the first begotten of the dead, see, talking about the first fruit, then we go
At this point, I just want to apologize. I had the notes, and when I copied it over, I must have lost it. Or I had a few times when our power went out this afternoon because we were working on the heat. We didn't have heat until about an hour ago. Brother Mike, Michael's son, Paul, came up, found a problem, and fixed it. So anyway, but I do have it all. It'll be on the web for you. But anyway, you can hear Brother Vail talking and very emphatic, and he's talking about John 14:12, and he said that, you know, when have we ever had it? And he said, this is for this, and don't tell me it's just one person. He said, it's for the people. You see, because Brother Branham's whole ministry was to get a bride ready. Ready for what? To be conformed. To be bride material so that capstone would come down. That capstone of love, you see. Hallelujah. You know, this is just beautiful because it really confirms that we are moving. We are led by the Spirit of God. We are sons of God being led by the Spirit of God. And these are things Brother Vail taught for years. And then when he turned the corner, he went into teaching. And when he went into teaching, he never said back when he was teaching faith that, you know, you could die under my ministry. But when he started teaching doctrine, he said that. Because you can die under doctrine. You understand? Because doctrine is to help you and to place you. But if you don't have the dynamics and the mechanics, you're out of it. You understand? I'll continue playing this now. Probably lost it. Let me try it again. He's talking about the body growing up throughout the six, seven ages. You see? Can't be full till the last one's in.
Time now, and when this bride, having grown up, and she's come to the end time,
There's your works, and word and works of Christ. Then we go to a lump. See, the first fruit, then the lump. You understand what he's talking about? The first fruit, then everything else, the lump, is the same. Spoken word is original. See? Let me just do the next one here. And basically, I don't know if you understand what he's saying, but you see, he goes on to say how this, you know, God always takes the man, but never the spirit. So the spirit in the church, the spirit of adoption, the spirit in the church is growing, growing, growing. The feet might go away. I mean, the person of the feet might go away, but the feet's still there because the doctrine's still there. You understand? Justification, sanctification, it stays there. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, it stays there. So right at the end time, then, you have the capstone ministry, which is Christ, the life of Christ, the works of Christ in the church. And when that takes place, when we come to that position, brother and sister, resurrection takes place. So it's not after the resurrection. It's too late. Because if it's not in you, it won't be resurrection for you. You understand? So, you know, if they want to fuss, that's fine. They can fuss, but it's not going to be for them. You see? But it's for you. And like we read the quote, Brother Ram said, you know, those who are looking for it, that's the ones that'll get it, you know? And now let me just play the next one here. And this is from Macon. The meetings in Macon. And this is only a portion, so just bear with it, but it's tremendous. What he says here.
There comes another age. There comes the age, and of the measure of the seventh age, the seventh joint has got to supply something that no other age can supply. That you're growing up into him. See? Now, make it increase the body under the edifying of the self and love. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a literal body called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to Ephesians is the bride, which is his body. Now notice, it tells you in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now we are unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now the point is this, when does Christ...
Try to get it again. It's this one here. It's a 2-son 1.
You're coming to age, and of the measure of the seventh age, the seventh joint has got to supply something that no other age can supply. That you're growing up into him. See?
Can you all bear with me? I'm going to have to copy it over on the disc. Just give me a couple minutes, brother. Would you come up and see if you saw it?
Sing number 43, Come and Dine. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus. Jesus they will be eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
Make feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Amen. Well, let me try again. You know, I'm getting older and my technology is not keeping up with technology. So I want to go to 15 minutes into sermon number. I'm just going to do it from my phone because that's where I listen to it almost every night. Stick this thing in my ear and just play, 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 and I just have revivals all night long. All right.
23, but not only they, but ourselves also. Now notice what he says about us. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. But even though we have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is, we have eternal life already in us, and we are groaning because we have to wait for this manifestation. So the scripture here teaches us that all creation, that is, all the people and all of nature, even the born-again people, are waiting for the manifestation or the adoption or the placing of the sons of Almighty God. So now we can draw a conclusion from what we have discovered so far, and that is that the manifestation of the sons of God, for which all creation is looking, is in reality the placing of sons. That manifestation, that unveiling, is identical, it's just another expression for the adoption or the placing of sons. Now, to the sons it is placing, God placing the sons, who were foreordained to this end, wherever that placing is, see? But to the world it is manifestation. In other words, it is a bringing into view. See, bringing up into view, see? Now we also note that this manifestation, which comes from the placing or positioning of sons, can only come at the end time. It can come at no other time, because it takes place in the resurrection and the rapture period of time. Now you notice that I'm very careful here, because here is where the argument comes. When does it take place? And I say it takes place at the end time, at that period of time, wherein the resurrection and the rapture will also come about. Now let's look at Romans the 8th chapter, again verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now notice they have in there an interpolated to it. Now that's not in the Greek. Now even it might be there inadvertently or in the sense of the admission of the sense, but it's not in there. Now I haven't made an actual study of this, but let's look at it. Supposing it said we're waiting for the adoption, then it says the redemption of the body. You could have the same thought, but it could be a related idea and not the very same thing. So we leave it just the way it is there. And don't try to influence our thinking to the extent of saying, now this has got to be only on the day you, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. For this corruptible, see, he's speaking of the people living, and who'll be living at the end time. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, he doesn't say that which has already died, does it? That goes without saying, because that's the resurrection. He's speaking in terms of the people living must have something happen to them. Now, the word corruptible is like you taking your fingers here and scratching on the material until actually you wear it out. That's what it means. I know that's the actual Greek because Brother Dave and I looked it up a few years ago and we took word by word on this, see? And then this mortal, which in the Latin is mortus, which is a death doom, I think it's identical to the Greek, this must put on immortality. Now, he says, so when this corruptible here, see, which you can do to wear it out, and then it'll go into the grave, shall have put on incorruptibility. See, standing right here, something comes where this thing, in spite of the fact that everybody else has gone down, isn't going to go down. See? Now, and this mortal shall have put immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is written, death is swallowed up in a victory. Now, the word swallow up in the actual Greek, though, at the time I was praying about this, did not know it was the Greek. The actual Greek is where an animal catcher had caught a wild animal. I used to use it as a dog catcher to steal in. But the literal Greek is where an animal, wild animal catcher, catches a wild animal. Now, he doesn't kill the animal. He renders him powerless, though he is there. Now, death is still here, but rendered impotent in the case of these living. And when it's rendered impotent in the case of these living, then also the dead can come up. Something's got to happen to bring the dead out of the grave. Now, it doesn't mean that we're changed yet physically. It's just that something happens. Now, when does it happen? At the last trump. Now, when's the last trump? In the days of the voice of the seventh messenger when he shall begin to sound. It is not the seventh last trump from heaven. That's to the Jews, under the sixth seal in a 3.5-year period. Incorruptibility isn't then, exchanged to incorruptibility. This is blessed and holy, he that part in the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power that increase in kings unto God, and reign and rule him 1,000 years. You're talking about something entirely different. It's at the last trump, it's the message that puts this on, because he came to clothe the bride.
Amen.
See? That's absolutely what he called it. And that's in this, and it'd be the seventh seal, but then the seventh in the seals, where he takes where the sword is in his hand, and that's when he screams out, he said, bring on your holy garment with the word of God standing by. What in the name of common sense has a garment got to do with the sword? What's right here? Just what he told us he'd do. The sword of the word of God. See? That vision, he said, slid right into the Bible. And it slid right into 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. And 53, 54. See? It came to pass. Now, this is why I say this subject is in this period. See? At the end time. Where there's going to be a resurrection, or there is going to be a rapture. It couldn't take place at any other time. So you see why I've chosen my words to say in the period or the season. I did not say at the instant. And I did not put it in the 30 to 40 day period where the saints will be on the earth with the other resurrected dead. But I've got to put it at this particular season. Now you'll find Brother Brown does the same thing, so don't worry about it. I'm just letting you know now, watching my language, where it is placed on this very ground. And this, O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Well, the bride has got to come to place. Now, we know perfection is absolutely in the resurrection. The Brother Branham said perfection takes place after resurrection. We realize that entirely. But remember, something has got to happen, he said, to put this bride in there.
Amen.
See, what is it? It's right in this period where Paul is speaking when the victory comes that will bring about the world into a non-chaotic condition. Now, that's all we have in our mind at this minute. There's coming a day when, through the manifested sons, what by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, predestination speaks of a destiny which has been chosen beforehand. But remember, if you have a predestination, then you must finally come to the destination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when do we hit the destination? For what we've been predestined. See, this is the point. Now, notice, according to these verses, that this is the ultimate purpose of God for the church. And according to Brother Branham, it has been an unrevealed mystery until the end time. So therefore, simply reading this, you and I do not have the ability to interpret it. It's got to be explained to us what is happening and what will happen in the hour in which we live. You follow me? Now, if it was revealed before, and then there's no problem. We just say, well, hallelujah, this is it, I see, glory to God. But you don't, you can't, because it's been unrevealed. So therefore, a revealer must reveal the doctrine. He's got to come and say, it is this, it is this, it is this. Just like your no eternal hell doctrine. Well, you say, well, bless God, I can see in the Bible, it says the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Well, of course, we could sure smash that one just by human reasoning in 15 flat seconds. But I'd just soon go with the prophet. When he takes Malachi, where he said in the fourth chapter, shall eat neither the root nor branch, he said, now where is your eternal hell? Now he said, that's petty scripture against scripture. It is not. It is explaining the scripture, which is by revelation. See? And you'd be surprised the people that leave this message because they want eternal hell. Who for? For even the devil to fry in, I would. Leave it up to God.
Amen.
What kind of spirit do people have on them anyway? Doesn't the bride say, Father, forgive them? No, we can't ask God to forgive whom he will not forgive. But at least that's the kind of spirit we have. Like Paul, if it's I could wish myself a curse, well, that could never happen.
I'm going to, at this point, I'm just going
but
to...
Sure, there comes a time that somebody's life when he'll say...
I'm going to read... what I've got here, this is taken from Brother Vail's sermon here. He finishes reading the 8th chapter of Romans. He says, just one verse at a time, the 15th verse at this time. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the first message on this subject, which was last night, we showed from the prophet's teaching that there should be a word-identified bride who would be able to manifest the very life of Christ at the end time. Quoting Brother Branham, there'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming in, that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people, and Brother Vail says plural, so that they'll, and Brother Vail says plural, speak the word, and it, the word, will create itself like that or identical to what was spoken. You see, when God said, let there be light, suddenly something didn't say, I think I will have a little fun, let there be dark. No, light, see? Therefore, the word which will be in the bride will be the literal manifestation into creation of that same word by the Spirit that lies in the word, and there will be literal creation. Now, that's what the prophet said. Do you agree with what he said? All right, fine, we believe it. Now, notice the language of the prophet. He said, now, N-O-W, at the moment, it is coming into the church. That means only one thing. The potential is already in the bride of this hour, and it is a potential will produce a manifestation in her of creation by spoken word. God is going to refill the bride with the Spirit. Then see what happens. Brother Branham said, we've got a ministry coming that just excites exactly like the life of Christ. Now, that's what he told us, and that's what we believe. I was preaching one time in Chicago a couple years ago, or three, when Dr. Hoyer, who is, in my estimation, the greatest authority in the Hebrew and Greek today, living today, because he can speak it with the exact emphasis, the exact facial expressions, and the exact demonstration by the hand. He's a very brilliant scholar, and at the end of the service he said, Brother Vail, I trust you will not think me to be fanatical, but I would like to say something, and he sounded so apologetic I wondered in the world, what in the world he was going to say. He said, please, please, please do not take this bad. He said, and I said, well, what is it, Brother Hoyer? And he said, Brother Vail, I believe the bride will have the creative word within her before she goes in the rapture. And I said, Brother, that's exactly what a vindicated prophet said by thus saith the Lord. Here is a brilliant theologian who knows exactly the hour of the day. And if you heard him and you could meet him and talk with him, you would know that this is a giant intellect anointed by the Holy Ghost who has studied the Word of God until that's all he knows and all he lived. You mention a scripture and he will quote you the Hebrew or the Greek, and then he'll raise his eyebrows, his face will change, and an expression will come upon him, and there he will literally begin to preach in that language. And he said, Brother Vail, I know that it is coming. So we see, according to the Word of God, given to us by a vindicated prophet, that the creative Word will be in the very bride at the end time. Now, this great capstone ministry of the bride is called the manifestation of the sons of God, or the adoption or placing of the sons. And to me, and I emphasize to me, it is also the manifestation of what Brother Branham called the third pole in the bride. Up until 1963, Brother Branham talked much of this manifestation, but after 62 or 63, he spoke of the pole of the various poles, and he said there would be a third pole in the bride which would come into manifestation. Now, we have no details concerning it, but remember, it will be the creative Word within the bride. Now, let us just think of the potential of the prime cause of this great manifestation. It is already in the bride, but it is evidently subdued. Now, it's in there, but subdued, see? But letting that power lie dormant, see, does not annul that the power is there. So it is the lack of the manifestation does not annul the power. The power is there, but the manifestation is not here because it is not yet time for it. And then he gave an illustration. He said, now, see, I might have the power in my hand to smash you in the jaw, but I don't do it. It's not that I don't have the power to do it. It's just that I'm subduing it. And so the bride waits until she has, thus saith the Lord. Remember the quote Brother Brown said, the Word is in the bride, but she knows what to do with it, but she doesn't do until he says do. See, but letting that power lie dormant, see, does not annul that the power is there. So it is that the lack of the manifestation does not annul the power. The power is there, but the manifestation is not here because it is not yet time for it. Now, this is what you must understand. See, the bride is not without the prime cause or the cause to bring about the effect. It is just that God is not ready to produce the effect. See, now, it is not time to show it forth. Notice our text, the 15th verse. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have already received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Our Father. We already have the spirit of adoption. The first age, the second age, the third age, the fourth age, the fifth age, the sixth age. Every member in the body of Christ has already, whether they've gone to the dust or not, they have already received the potential, but not the manifestation. Now, notice verse 19 to 23. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the unveiling of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory. The liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which already have the first fruit of the Spirit, which will make us like unto Christ, even to the very members in which we are groaning, even we groan within ourselves, we are waiting for the adoption. Even though you got the very spirit of it, tell you what, haven't I got it all? Don't I possess it all? My brother and sister, you and I may possess everything that God in potential, but into manifestation, we do not yet possess it. See, I'm so sorry for those people who believe and have said, well, listen, I'll take this whole Bible, and this whole Bible is mine. You are wrong. Only the part of the Word that's what's in here is yours, if it's yours for your day. Brother Branham put it so beautifully. Moses could not come preaching Noah's message. He couldn't do it. And Christ could not come preaching Moses' message, the law until John. But see, now we look forward to grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And the Word for this day is the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what he said. The Word for this day is the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, if we are not aware of the hour in which we live, then we cannot say that we got the Holy Ghost, because he is given to teach us those things which have been given to us from God. Oh, how blind the church is today that calls itself filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he talks about Billy Graham and states where Billy Graham said, if the Holy Ghost were gone, 90% of the activities would still go on in the churches. Now, we're waiting for the adoption, and this tells us when it will take place. It places it in resurrection season. Now, What is the resurrection season? It takes place over here in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul says here in the 15th verse, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." There's your first fruit and your lump. Okay, is right from the scripture. So layer by layer, in seven church ages, the church is coming up to the capstone itself until it fits so perfectly in the last age, the seventh is literally identified with Christ himself. Now, as bride accompanied, Paul saw this as many members. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We are coming up into the very word itself. Then, brothers and sisters, can't you see, if we are coming up into the very word itself, then creation must lie in the bride. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The whole body is coming up. Every single one of the first six church ages had the potential of adoption to the spirit of adoption. But only the seventh church age has the potential plus the manifestation. The church itself did not have the Holy Spirit, which would bring them into the manifestation, because the age was not yet. God was bringing that word up, line by line, building his church up all the way to the top. The life was moving on, the church building up. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. This is a mortal church we're talking about. Then this makes me understand that the manifestation of the sons of God will come before the resurrection. We are not dealing with the church that has gone on, but a church that is coming up. This is the same age, as Brother Branham said, the age of adoption is the age of restoration. As Paul said, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That word did not apply to the first six ages, but to the seventh age only. And not to all the seventh age, but to only those at the end of this age. The last day's true church will be a super church, a super race. They will be so much like him that they will be in his very image. They will be the very manifestation of the living God. Now, William Branham spoke from paragraph 176 and 177. Brother Vail quotes him. "Then from that little group of the true seed of the word, God will present to Christ a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. And through them and by them will he be fulfilled. All that has been promised for his age in the virgin, who knows no man may creed or dogma. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that has been written of him. As he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit now womb, so will the virgin now, accepting his word, be it unto me as thou hast said. Though it was said by the angel while it was yet the written word, Isaiah 9 and 6, they will love him, love his, and will have his potentials, for he is their head, and they are his subjects, subject to his head, headship of Christ was his." Paragraph 177. "Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ." See, John 5:19. "So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her now, not even death, for if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again." Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah. Now, here is a secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. "She has thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will." Amen. I'll believe that. Now listen, "no one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word, to fulfill as he did complete in that day all things when he was here. He did not complete all things when he was here, for it was not yet the time." And then Brother Vail said, "Now, how many can swallow that one and not choke on it?" Oh, Brother Vail, when he died upon Calvary, he said it was finished. Huh? What was finished? What was finished? This was not finished. That was not finished. The prophet is right. You know he's right. How many think that when Jesus come, he was anointed to preach the gospel, preach the acceptable year of the Lord, right? To proclaim it. Now, and then he goes on, he quotes Jesus from the scripture. And he says, now look, he points out there's two or three things in that scripture that wasn't fulfilled until this hour. You see? Then he goes on and says, now he said, from the whole body, that's from Christ himself, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, joined and compacted, the solidarity in which there can be none lost whatsoever it comes from him, but is coming from the feet first. And with every joint supply according to the effectual measure. What is the effectual measure? The word of God is the only effectual thing in this world that we got. Because all things were made by him and all things are maintained by him, right? The Bible says so. There's nothing made no other way than by the word of God. And the book of John tells us, and Paul comes along and tells us everything is maintained by him. Colossians, the first chapter, I think about the 21st verse there. Now he said, here it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now listen, what is it? Speaking the truth in love. The same word, that same measure in every age will bring the bride right to the throne, the headstone Christ, and it'll make manifest it effectively. It'll bring itself effectively to that very position. Now what is it doing? It's the word that's doing it. See, we are a word bride. Now I say the whole body is coming up. Every single one of the first six church ages had the potential of adoption to the spirit of adoption, but only the seventh church age has the potential plus the manifestation. See? This is what I see, and when Brother Brown taught us concerning Lutherans, and now, there again, don't misunderstand and think that I'm throwing off on somebody, but when the Lutherans came to Brother Branham back in about 60-some, and they said, Brother Branham, do we have the Holy Ghost? And he said, potentially you Lutherans have the Holy Ghost. Now, what did he mean? Did he mean for 1 minute that the Lutherans didn't have the Holy Ghost? Luther himself had the Holy Ghost. See, the Lutheran people themselves had the Holy Ghost when they were born again. See, as the same as the Wesleyans. But the church itself did not have the Holy Spirit, which would bring them into the manifestation, because the age was not yet. See, the age was not yet. As God was manifesting the word, see, line by line, bringing the church up, because it's got to come by the word. You understand that, you see? That's your pyramid. God bringing that word up, building his church up, doing it by the Holy Ghost. See, bringing it all the way to the top. Now watch carefully here, because he's doing this not in the church which has gone down, but the light was moving on. The man goes, but the spirit stays. Christ's spirit doesn't leave the earth, but the man dies. The church building up. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. This is a mortal church that we're all talking about. Then this makes me understand that the manifestation of the sons of God will come before the resurrection. So we are not dealing with the church that has gone down. We're dealing with the church that is coming up. The church coming up is mortal because in each stage it is a mortal church. And that has a spirit of God that is looking forward to the adoption. See, now we're coming to our headstone. Now, this is the age, the same age that Brother Branham said where God restores, the age of restoration, the age of adoption is the age of restoration. Now listen to what he said. It's uniting time. God getting ready, her ready. That's his bride. Yes, sir, uniting. What's she uniting with? With the word from heaven and earth that shall pass away, but not one word shall pass away. Excuse me. With the word from heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Now then, if the bride is a word united bride, how could she pass away? You say, well, Brother Vail, they are all united word. But they weren't united word where it said, behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That word did not apply to the first age. That word did not apply to the second age or the third age or the fourth, the fifth, or sixth. Now they had the full potential for the resurrection back there in the age number one, but they could not get it. Why? Because the body was not filled. Christ could not bring forth a word-formed bride. He could only bring forth a perfect bride. And so, brother, says that's perfected by the blood. So what you see is there's certain things that we've been pointing out here for the last probably 7 years. You know, the being conformed to the image of the firstborn son, the spirit of adoption, the age of, you know, the time of the adoption, getting ready for all these things. And so what you see is these things are promises to us. Mm-hmm. And as Brother Branham said, if you're looking for them, you see, who was it that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Those that went and tarried for it. Who was it that received the Holy Ghost return in 1906? It was those people that saw it in the scripture. They said it's got to come, and they got themselves ready, and they received the promise. Hallelujah. I believe we have a little group here that believes, and people around the world that believe that we've got promises for us in this hour. We've got promise that the capstone ministry of Christ will be in the church. It doesn't mean that we're going to work ourselves up. We don't work ourselves into anything. It's God in you working to will and to do. It's just learning to die to self, learning to yield to the Holy Spirit. And then when something does come up, you have a right to say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, raise. You see? Hallelujah. What does it all mean? It means that there is going to be a third pole in the bride. Brother Brown said it would be in the bride. Didn't he say that? He didn't say two. He said in. Right? Is that what he said? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that right? Not just Christ here among you, Christ to you. It's Christ in you. It's the life of Christ. And the life of Christ manifesting itself in the bride. That's why we stand on the word that we do. So being that this is now the hour for communion, or the time for communion, I should say, the fellowship with him. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly and reverently come before you, Lord, and we believe you, Father, for every word and every promise. Oh God, we want every promise. And so, Lord, we're desiring, Father, to be more like your son, Jesus. Not that we can be somebody, but that we might please you. Because we know that he said that my joy might be in them. And so, Father, we want the joy of your son, Jesus, in us. We want to have that same relationship with you that he had. We want to be caught up like you caught up Enoch, who pleased you. And so, Father, whatever promise you have for us in this day, we pray, Lord, that we might first see it in thy word. And then, Lord, know the hour in which it is to come. And then press into it, O God. And lay ourselves open before you, O God. So that, not that we can make it happen, Father, but as Paul said, pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So if there's a high calling, he said, press forward to it. And so, Father, we are asking you, Lord, not that we can press something into ourselves, but, Father, that we can lay a hold of the promises that you've given to us. And as your prophet said, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And so, Father, we know this is the hour for the adoption. We know this is the hour that the sons of God are to manifest as sons of God. And we know the way your son Jesus manifested wasn't by the things that he did so much as by his attitude and submission to you. And so, Father, help us to have the same attitude that was in Christ, the same mind that was in Christ, and the same purpose, the same motives and objectives that was in him. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sorry, I didn't have the presentation the way I wanted it. With the voice and everything else, it might have been better for me just to have read you the quotes, be a little quicker. But anyway, I hope you can understand that God is leading us. And I didn't know some of those things were there, but I probably did subconsciously because I heard all of his sermons way back when. But I tell you what, when you come across those things, and as Brother Gary was sharing me from the ones in between, is another some beautiful thoughts where Brother Vail was talking to, he said, look, he said, you can't tell me because I don't believe it your way that I'm not in it. He said, you have no right to do that. God is the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. And it's about attitude, brothers and sisters. There's been too many pompous, arrogant attitudes, and I think some of us at one time or other were probably part of that. I think we could all say amen and say, Father, forgive me. We got on the high horse and God had to knock us off. And the best way to knock you off is to have all your friends come against you. You know what that does? It makes you, when Brother Branham said, when the wind blows on that little oak tree, that oak tree digs its roots in, and we dig those scripture, and we find out we do have root and he hasn't left us without root or branch. We do have the root, and we are the branch, and he is the vine. So I'm thankful for those things. Now, if the deacons would come forward, actually, the brothers that know we're going to do it, would come forward to bring the elements. And then those other brothers, if they would get the water ready for the sisters here and for the brothers downstairs at this time. And then, Sarah, if you would come up and play us a little song. Let me just read a scripture while they're getting those things ready. And then I also have I would like these to be passed out, every family to have one. Conduct order for the sanctuary, and on the backside, conduct and order for the cry room. These are strictly quotes from Brother Branham, but I think we want them for our church as well. And just so that we don't let things slip a little bit, the more families we get, the more children we get, the little bit more being on top of things we have to be. So, and children are children, and we love them. But there's a place for everything. So, if we turn to John chapter 13, and beginning reading at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, he went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and he girded himself. After that he pours water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answering said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answering him said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you shall do them. And I speak not to you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it was, be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answering said, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That which thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto, for some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which we have need against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out, and immediately it was night, and it is night outside. So at this time, brothers, if you would ask, just ask the blessings upon the elements of which you are to partake.